Is anyone feeling a bit wrecked right now? Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm in good company. Bless the Lord. You can be seated. Thank you so much. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. He's opening our eyes and showing us great and mighty things, things that were once fenced in and hidden. But he's revealing them to us in this hour, amen. Spirit of wisdom and revelation is being poured out like never before. Amen. It's bringing understanding to our hearts that our minds won't, our minds don't understand. But he brings revelation to our hearts. And he's speaking to our hearts, spirit to spirit. God is a spirit and we're a spirit. He speaks to our hearts. And he's opening our hearts that we would hear what he would say, what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. And what things that I'm hearing over and over again is the witness. It's like there's a witness, there's an amen in the hearts of people, the church of God in this hour. It's like he's speaking to each one of us. He is, if we have ears, he's opening our ears to hear what he is saying, so that when we hear the words coming forth, we're saying, yes, I know that, yes, I know that, yes, I know that. God's placed it in my heart, even though I haven't had the articulation for it, I know of it, I know that it's true. Amen? Because the Spirit whom he has caused to live in us is an all-knowing Spirit. We've received an unction, an anointing from the Holy One. And the Scripture says that we know all things. Oh, hallelujah. Because we have the all-knowing one on the inside of us. Amen? So we're hearing things in our hearts that we already understand, that we already know in our hearts. And God is waiting, as I repeat myself, for us to just say amen. Because he's waiting for you. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Because he's waiting to bring the there it is. That's what I've been talking about. Amen? That's what I've been talking about. So there's some powerful amens in this place this morning. So I encourage you, hey, to say amen. Amen? So that we begin to experience the there it is. I can see it. Amen? The things that I've heard, the things that I've read. Ah. The things that have been spoken about, amen, that I begin to experience them, that the church begins to experience them on new levels, exponential levels, amen, hallelujah. God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above anything you could pray for, amen, anything you could hope for, anything that you can dream about, he wants to bring more, amen, and more of the same thing that we heard in that testimony today, deliverances, mighty salvations, amen? Oh, hallelujah. Mighty appearances. You know, Jesus is appearing to people all over the world right now, making himself known. Oh, bless the Lord. And there's more. Oh, hallelujah. I'd just really love to get down there this morning. Down there. Am I allowed? Yeah. Can I do that? To the media team, okay with that? Can I get down there? I really like to get down there. Thank you. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Could you bring the rest of that for me, Brad? Glory. Hear and obey every second of the day. You know, sometimes you don't know the whys or the wherefores, but it's just for us to hear and obey every second of the day. Amen? It might seem little, it might seem small, this might seem insignificant, but when we hear and obey, we're going to see mighty things happening. Amen? Because we think it's going to be hard, but God says it's not hard. Just listen, just hear and obey every second of the day. Amen? Oh, bless the Lord. Anyone want to bless the Lord with me this morning? Thank you, Jesus. I'm trying to find where to land, but I'm landing. It's all right. It's good. Let's go to Joel 2, verse 11. How many of you notice that there's been a turning point? There's been a shift. Anyone agree with that? In the spirit, there's been a shift. God is shifting and turning the hearts of his people towards himself. Amen. The prodigals are coming home. Amen. The prodigals are coming home. But you know, there's a part of a prodigal in all of us, I believe. It's not just the ones that have been geographically not here, but there's a portion of the prodigal heart in every, I believe, in every person, amen, that belongs to God. But the prodigals are coming home. They're coming ever nearer. They're coming ever dearer into the heart of God, because God is looking for wholehearted worshippers. I said, God is looking for wholehearted worshippers. He's wanting our whole heart. Someone say whole heart. Not part of it, not a divided heart, but he's looking for the whole heart of the church. He wants the whole heart of the church. Amen? Oh, bless the Lord, that we would worship him wholeheartedly. Amen? Shakara brando. That we would seek him wholeheartedly. Amen? He wants all of you. He's jealous over you. He don't want to share you with anybody or anything. He wants your whole heart. To be loved so much that he just wants you completely. He wants you all in. Someone say all in. He wants all of you. He is jealous over you. Not a part of you. He wants all of you. Amen. Every bit of you. Your heart, your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. He wants the lot. He is jealous over you. He doesn't want to share you with anybody. Oh, bless the Lord. He doesn't want to share you with anybody. He wants your complete self. Shoo. Someone say, I'm in. Here we see in Joel 2, verse 11, you know, I keep on hearing, blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet. Sound the alarm. Amen? Awaken, sleeper. Awaken those who sleep. Hallelujah. We see here in Joel 2, verse 11, and the Lord utters his voice before his army. The Lord utters his voice before his army, for his host is very great, and they are strong and powerful who execute God's word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can endure it? Therefore also now, says the Lord, turn and keep on coming to me. You see, there's been a turning, and he's saying, you've turned, so keep on coming. I want you to keep on coming. Amen? Who to? He says, to me, with all of your heart. Someone say, all of my heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With all of my heart. With fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, until every hindrance is removed and broken fellowship is restored. Every hindrance, keep on coming. You know, when I see that, I see someone just kicking everything out of the way. Removing every, he wants to move everything out of the way. He says, turn and keep on coming till everything that has been hindering you from coming to me is out of the way. I'm shifting it out of the way. Amen? And that takes a cooperation with the operation of the Holy Spirit. When God says to us, move that out of the way, shift that out of the way, that small, still voice, move it now, shift it now. I want every hindrance removed. I want every blockage removed. Everything that would block you from coming to me, I want it removed. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want broken fellowship restored. What does that look like? It looks like it was in the Garden of Eden where they walked with the Lord, spoke with the Lord. Amen? One with the Lord. He says, I want you one with me. Amen? I want to be your abiding place. Bless the Lord. Someone say, he's jealous over me. You know, when something else beckons for your time, sorry, he's jealous over me. My God is jealous over me. He doesn't want to share me with that insignificant thing that has no eternal value whatsoever. I remember the Lord saying to me many, many years ago, he said, Kim, I don't want you to be concerned about anything that is not of eternal consequence. And there is so much in our lives, church, which is not of eternal consequence. So much that we will never, ever be able to take with us. But this is the time, this is the hour where God says, I'm calling my church to myself. I'm calling my bride to myself. Hallelujah. Amen. That she would prefer me. That she would prefer me. That she would prefer me in everything. Oh, hallelujah. pause and think about that one for a moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm hoping that I'm going to get to where I was meant to go today. But do you know something? I'm going to bring the word of the Lord and I'm going to bring what's on my heart because I know he's laid it on my heart. What I'm speaking right now, he's laid it on my heart. Because you know something? The time is near, church. The time is near. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. There's an urgency in the hour. And it's an urgency to step in line and to mark in time with the beat of the Father's heart. To hear the Father's heart like never before. To hear his words like never before. And to step in line, hear him. Amen. Step in line with the beat of his heart. Amen. For his heart is for you. His heart is for me. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Doing okay? Cool. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He says, all of your heart, not half-heartedly, all of your heart. He says, with fasting those things that have no consequence, so much of it. You know, I love these people that can sort of really organize you really well and streamline your life. Amen? Like streamline it, organize it. It's one of the grace gifts, organizer. They come and they streamline everything for you. Amen? Make it straight, make it clear, put things where they belong. And that's what God wants to do right now. He wants us to streamline, refine our lives. Amen? Refining, there's a refining taking place. Yeah? The stuff that's not necessary, he just wants to burn it up. I said, he just wants to burn it up. He just wants to get rid of it. Is that okay? You're going to let him? Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. We might do a bit of burning here today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, what's happening is there is a positioning for transitioning. There's a positioning taking place for transitioning. Romans 12, verse 1. Let's go there. Amplified Classic. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all of your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, wholly devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Therefore, the word therefore brings you to a place where once you know something, now you do something with what you know. With what now you know something, now you do something. Therefore, now you do something. Now you know something. You do something with what you know. Bless the Lord. That says, now you've shown me something. Now you've revealed something to me. Lord, I am going to do something with what you have revealed to me. That's what the scripture says, therefore. It's not just there to, you know, to fill it in or to bring a sentence together or to start one. It's there for a purpose. Therefore, what in view of the mercies of God, the Phillips, J.B. Phillips translation, New Testament says, with eyes wide open to the mercies of God. Now you have opened my eyes to the mercies of God. Do you know, and even in saying that, I know that the Lord is watching over that particular scripture to open our eyes to the mercies of God now. Someone say now. You see, this isn't to give you information. This is to bring an impartation to your sight that you begin to see. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Not only know about, but actually... Oh. Your eyes are being opened to the mercy of the cross. The mercy that was poured out on the cross. Amen? Bless, someone say amen. There it is. There it is. Hallelujah. And you believe it, there it is by faith. You know, when you come into agreement, the word says, where two agree as to touching anything on earth, it will be established for them by my Father in... Who by? My Father in heaven. Your agreement, he establishes what you agree. that your eyes would be wide open. Say, Lord, thank you for opening my eyes wide. Hallelujah. You'll be surprised what you see when you open out the word. You'll be surprised what you see in the days ahead. When you open out the word, I'm prophesying this over you. When you open out the word, you will be surprised what gold you discover in the word of God. The revelation that God, you're speaking to me. God's speaking to me. Someone say, he speaks to me. Hallelujah. Say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Oh, yes, that's a good position. That's a positioning of the heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Eyes wide open to the mercies of God, the work of the cross. In the previous chapters in Romans, in the book of Romans, you see that Paul speaks of how we were guilty before God, and then we were justified by faith in Jesus Christ, and that there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, and that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Amen? And that he's working everything together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose and his design. He's gone before us with that. And then he says, now, therefore, in view of, now your eyes are wide open because I've spoken to you. In view of those mercies, come and bring yourself as a living sacrifice to God. Amen? He's looking for living sacrifices. Amen? Glory to God. I'm excited. Have you noticed that? Bless the Lord. You know why? Because when the word of God comes, there's a grace that's imparted, to an empowering grace, an enabling grace to actually walk in what you're hearing. That to come and give yourself as a living sacrifice becomes the joy of your life. Why? Because just as with Jesus, he knew the joy that was set before him, so he endured the cross. Amen? And there's an enduring of our own cross, there's a carrying of our own cross, but God is equipping us with the grace that we need in this hour to actually bring ourselves as living sacrifices. This word is alive. I said, this word is alive. Amen? It's the Rhema word of God. It is alive. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting and dividing between what is of the soul and what is of the spirit. And God wants us living, led by the Holy Spirit. Amen? By the unction of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. He knows what's right. Oh, thank you, God. Romans 12, in the Passion Translation, verse 1. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? To surrender yourselves to God, to be his sacred living sacrifices, to live in holiness, experiencing all that God delights, all that delights his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. So he's talking about my response. We all responded to his mercies. We've all experienced his mercies. That's why we're here right now, yeah? We've experienced the mercies of God. You know, I know my own life was radically changed when I experienced the mercies of God. When he saved me, yeah? When he saved me and he delivered me. Amen. He saved and delivered my daughter, healed my daughter, you know, like, wow, come on now. Yeah. It just go back. There's mercies that you have experienced, that you've embraced, that God has done for you, the things that he has led you into, the miracles that you've experienced, the loved ones that he's brought around you and your families, and the miracles that you've experienced in the marketplace, the miracles that you were just hearing. You know, if you've never heard or experienced the goodness or the mercy of God, just take a hold of that testimony that we heard this morning, what's happening in the prisons in our nation. Amen? Because you've heard those testimonies. You've seen God at work. we look at that, there's a heart response. He's saying, I want you to respond to me as a living sacrifice. Present yourselves. Amen? Present yourself. That word present there was used with the Levitical priests. And they'd offer animal sacrifices, okay? They'd offer them on the altar, right? They'd kill them, they'd bleed them out, and they'd offer them on the altar, right? That's what they would do, okay? And as a priest, we are called to offer ourselves, yeah? We are called to offer ourselves. The problem is, you know, like when they used to offer the animal on the sacrifice of the altar, it was dead, right? It was already dead. But the problem can be with us is we are alive, if you notice that. Just pinch yourself, you are alive. And what happens with that when we come to the altar and say, offer yourself as a living sacrifice, so often we want to jump off the altar because it gets too hot. Before what God wants to consume is consumed. Sorry, I'm getting off here. The heat. You know something? The heat is increasing. The heat is increasing in the house. And it's requiring a response. God is requiring a response for our good. For our good. God said, getting hot around here. Turn to someone and say, it's getting hot around here. Getting a bit hot around here. Amen. So it can get a bit hot for us. So we want to, you know, because we've got the life in us. And hey, we're living. We're alive. We're not dead. Our flesh is alive and our faculties are alive. Is that right? Living sacrifices can jump off the altar when it gets too hot. When the fire wants to do something with the things that need to be dealt with. Has anyone got some stuff they need dealing with? The scriptures call it wood, hay, and stubble. Amen? God wants to burn it up in the fire. Is that okay? Amen? Because when he burns it up in the fire, you're free of it. You're free of the very thing that is hindering you. And remember, turn and keep on coming until every hindrances and blockages are removed. The very thing that is hindering us needs to go on the altar. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Amen? God is refining his church. Living sacrifices, that is a life lived for the glory of God. A living sacrifice is that which is lived for the glory of God. That's actually why we're here. Jesus said, I've given them the glory, your glory, the glory that you've given me. I have given them. Amen? So he goes on and says, present your body. Amen? Present your body. You know, quite a time, everything seems like years ago because it actually is, but there's stuff happening now too. But I'm reminded as I go and prepare for like today. I remember when the Lord said to me, living sacrifice, he said to me, I heard this thunder. And he said, and I'm thinking, what the thunder? What the thunder is the thunder? What is that thunder? And he said, can you hear the thunder of their run? He said, can you hear the thunder of their run? And I saw a vision of the church, and it was this church. And I know this church is representative of the church. And I saw them running from the back to the front, people running from the back to the front and throwing themselves on the altar, literally throwing themselves on the altar. And it was like I couldn't see their exact form, but I knew they were people. But I saw them when they hit, they would throw themselves on top of one. That's literally, and I'm seeing this image. And I said, Lord, what is this image? He said, Kim, it's slaughtered flesh. It's slaughtered flesh. They were alive, but their flesh was slaughtered. And he said, you're going to be surprised who answers altar calls in the days ahead. Because many have had their souls saved. In other words, they've taken hold of the gospel and they've taken the benefits of it. They've become consumers. He said, but they need to be born of the Spirit. And when they're born of the Spirit, they'll throw themselves on the altar of sacrifice. They won't be placed on it. They'll throw themselves on it. Too heavy for a Sunday morning? It's time. You see, I spoke a little while ago about the harvest. It's harvest time. He said harvest time for every prophecy that's been spoken. Amen. Every declaration that's been made. These prophecies, these declarations, these visions that you've seen, it's time for the harvest of them. And that's why he brings it to remembrance now, because he's saying the time is now. Amen? It's time. Turn to someone and say, it's time. Amen. You see, he wants to move the church to action. I said he wants to move the church to action. We go back there, just going back. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, I beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all of your members and faculties. All your members, your whole body, faculties. What does that mean? Faculties means your mental and physical abilities. The mental and physical abilities that a person has been born with. Yeah? Present it all. In readiness to operate in the giftings and the graces that God has imparted into your life. Everything that he has given to you needs to be given to him in service. Every grace gift, every spiritual gift, every fivefold gift is given to God in service. Amen? It's the body and the faculties that are the willing, are to be willingly sacrificed to God in his service. Present them to him. You know, present your faculties, present everything that you have to God. It'll be the wisest move you ever make. It'll be the wisest move that you ever make to give everything to him. Think through me, Lord. What are your thoughts? What is your will? What do you need? This day, this time is yours. You know, the enemy wants to consume your time, yeah, with things that have no eternal consequence whatsoever. How much time we actually waste. I remember years ago again saying, Lord, I need more time. I need more time. He said, Kim, when you start to use the time that I have given you well, I will extend your time. I will give you more. Amen. And when I started to use it more, effectively, I found that things were dropping off. The unnecessary things were dropping off. Amen. Because my time was beginning to be used for his glory like never before. He says, you use your time for my glory, I'll extend your time. I'll even lengthen your days. It's almost like at the moment, I feel like I've got another day in the week. Don't know what's happened. I feel like I've got another day in the week. What's only Wednesday? You're serious. Like, wow. Like the last 2 weeks, it's like I've had another day in my week. You see, the better you spend your time, the more time he'll give you. I haven't got time. What are you doing? Cull. Turn to someone and say, cull. Cull. There's so much you can cull. I'm sure you're thinking of probably the same thing I'm thinking, but I won't say it. Surely God has never. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Present your body, all your members, the whole of yourself. Amen. Be the wisest move you ever make. When you think of all that God has done for you, the greatest act of worship you can do is to say, Lord, I am presenting myself to you. If we don't have time, we have limited revelation of what happened on the cross. The work of the cross is revealed to us. It'll bring us to our knees. When it's truly revealed to us, it'll bring us to our knees. Church, it will bring us to a place of surrender. Worship is not a song. It's a lifetime of obedience. Amen. It postures us to operate in the grace gifts powerfully when we position our heart aright. Romans 12, chapter 2, let's go on. It says, be not conformed to this world or this age, but be fashioned after and adapted to its external... I'm going to read it again. Be not conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude. Someone say new attitude. Do you know a man by the name of Benson Idahosa? I heard him years ago say, your attitude will determine your altitude. Yeah? So that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. The presentation of your body and faculties to transformation, it'll lead to the transformation of your mind and your life. It'll lead to the transformation of your mind and your life. Praise the Lord. I have a new way of living. I have a new life divine. Yeah? Okay. Oldie, but a goodie. Instruction one, what is he saying here? Be not conformed to this world. You know, God has called us to be non-conformist, church. Did you know that? Amen? Not fashioned after the desires of the world. Amen? Not to behave according to what is socially acceptable, which is changing day in and day out. We are seeing things change. You know, one thing, things that were never socially acceptable are now endorsed by government. It's in, I've called you not to be conformed to the world, but I've called you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're the one that brings living proof of what is good and acceptable and perfect in the mind of God. And it doesn't change. You know, when I was reading and meditating on these scriptures again, I thought, wow, it's almost like he wrote them for today. Don't be conformed to this world. Stop it. Stop the compromise. God is holy and we are called to holiness. And what's being called good is actually evil. And what is evil is being called good. Wake up. Turn to someone and say, time to wake up. Put the alarm on. Put the alarm on. Oh, we'll just be loving. Well, don't love by not compromising. Stop compromising how much you love a person by agreeing with their deception. You know where it's leading them. You know where it's leading them. God's called us to be nonconformists. Do not behave according to what is socially acceptable, the behaviors of the world. Not to conform to the world's way of thinking or behavior, attitudes or convictions. Be a nonconformist. Turn to someone and say, I am a nonconformist. Jesus said on the Sermon of the Mount, speaking to the about the pagan world, he said, do not be like them. J.B. Phillips' translation says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. What, by pressure, by persecution? You were born for persecution. Jesus says in Matthew 5 in the Beatitudes, he says, oh, hallelujah. You are blessed if you are persecuted. What for? Righteousness' sake? Count yourself blessed. If someone persecutes you for doing or being right, count yourself blessed. Amen? Because he says theirs, the kingdom of heaven belongs to you. I said the kingdom of heaven belongs to you. Come on, the kingdom of heaven belongs to you. What have we got here? Bless the Lord. Amen. The kingdom of heaven belongs to you. We need to be looking straight up. Come on, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. Blessed are those that are persecuted for the sake of living a righteous life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Someone say, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. It goes on to say, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be distracted, please. Don't be distracted. Listen to what I'm saying. so that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the things which he is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. He's saying you will discover the will of God for you. You will discover it and you will walk in it. What does he have for me? What does he have in his sight for me? What does he see me doing? What is he leading me into? What I find is that God usually, what I've found, he usually leads us supernaturally, naturally, because he's placed himself in us, and intuitively we know what he wants. We know what to do. Amen? He's placed the supernatural. You're walking in the supernatural more than you think that you are, more than you know that you are. If you know that you know that you're sitting in the right place right now, hearing the right word, you have been led here supernaturally. Though you thought it was your decision, you actually followed the leading of God. Oh, come on. Amen. Though you thought it was you. You thought it was you. It was just natural for you. It was just right for you. Amen. You're exactly where God wants you to be. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The lion's roaring. The lion's roaring. What would I say to you? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength, and then do what comes to you. Why? I'm going to have to read because I'm flying through this now. Because if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, what you will want will be the will of God. So love him and do what you want to do, because your will is immersed in his will. You love him so much, right, with all your mind, your heart, your soul, everything's in you. You love him, so you are actually an expression of him. You are bringing the expression of him. Every time you make a decision, you are preferring him. Why? Because you are in him. In him you live. In him you move. In him you have your being. So do what comes naturally. Amen. I said, do what comes naturally. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Someone say, bless the Lord. Do not be distracted. Do not be distracted. If you want to follow the word, do what comes because you are being transformed, so that you will be living proof of what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God in his sight for you. You will want to do what he wants you to do. Because you've sacrificed your own will, your own way of doing, your own way of being. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. He goes on to say, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. There's graces on your life. And even when you begin to move in him, live in him, you begin to operate in the grace gifts, which we'll eventually land on. Because these are the words that I'm giving you are actually a preparation to operate in them aright from the right position of heart. It's not so that you can think of yourself more highly than you ought. Because God says, think soberly, everyone's, you've been given the measure of faith. In other words, you've been given the gift. It's from him. It's him. It's him. The power to operate in it comes from him. Everything is from him. So we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, amen? And when we are exalted, it's his glory. It's his glory, all for your glory, Lord. All for your glory, as Kara said, don't pocket the glory. Give it to him, amen? Bless the Lord. I think I'm going to have to finish right there. Let's just stand up, shall we? Bless the Lord, thank you, Jesus. Someone says you have a no finished. No, I have a no finished. We're not finished. Turn to someone and say, he's not finished with us. He is not finished with us. I said, he is not finished with us. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So what are we doing without a response? What do we do to respond to this? You know, like, you know, we need to have integrity of heart. Is that right? Has anyone been moved and shifted at all here this morning? You know, we can. You know what can stop us actually not conforming to the world? Is that we're too worried about what the world think. We're too worried about what people think. Actually, sometimes we don't even answer an altar call in church because we're a bit concerned as to people might actually think I'm a little bit more rendered, my heart's a bit more rendered than somebody else's, and they might think that this message actually affected me. Me? Of all people, me? You know, they might actually be able to read my mail through what I do. That's the fear of man. And that might be the first thing that you need to put on the altar. Is a fear of whether people might think that you're willing to change. That you're willing to give something else to God. Amen? You hearing me? I'm preaching it like it's the last message I'll ever give in my life, totally. But you know something? You never know. And you never know whether it might be your last time to actually respond. The Bible tells us to live today like he's coming. When? Today. Live today like he's coming today. Maybe I could have the... can we have the worship team up, please? You know, like... And the worship team aren't coming up to prepare your hearts to do something or to respond. You can respond to what you heard today right in your heart. And you know, to be honest, which I may as well be honest, is that sometimes when people don't come forward, maybe they're responding just as much as someone that does. But don't let what people think of you stop you from responding.